Adava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Radhari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Jaya Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, named The Brahmana's Wives Blessed, Verse 10 and Verse 11. We can... Deshaha Kalaha Pritak Dravyam Mantra Tantra Ritvijaha Agnaya Devataha Yajamanaha Chakratu Dharmaha Chaya Yat Maya Tam Brahma Paramam So I can. Deshakala pritadravyam. Manta tantra tvijognaya. Devata yajamanascha. Kratir dharmascha yanmaya. Deshakala pritadravyam. Mantra tantrat vijognaya. Devata yajamanascha. Kratur dharmascha yanmaya. Deshakala pritadravyam. Mantra tantrat vijognaya. Devata yajamanascha. Kratur dharmascha yanmaya. Yajamanascha Kratur dharmascha yanmaya. Matajis Deshakala pritagdhravyam Mantra tantrat vijognaya. Devata yajamanascha Kratur dharmascha yanmaya. We also have one verse, so I'll just read it. Tam brahma paramam sakshat bhagavantam adokshajam manushya drishtya drishpragna martyam atmanu menire. Word by. Word to word. Deshaha, the place. Deshaha, the place. Kalaha, time, pritak dravyam, particular items of paraphernalia, mantra, Vedic hymns, tantra, prescribed rituals, ritvijaha, priests, agnayaha, sacrificial fires, devataha, the presiding demigods, yajamanaha, the performer of the sacrifice, cha, and kratuhu, the offering, dharmaha, the invisible power of fruitive results, cha, and yat, whom, mayaha, constituting tam, him, brahma paramam, the supreme absolute truth, sakshat, directly manifest, bhagavantam, the personality of Godhead, adokshajam, who is transcendental to material senses, manishya drishtya, seeing him as an ordinary man, dishprigna, perverted in their intelligence, martya atmanaha, falsely identifying themselves with the material body, name nire, they did not properly honor. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, time, particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fires, demigods, performer, offering, and the asset's unseen beneficial results are all simply aspects of his opulences. The Brahmanas saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human because of their perverted intelligence. They failed to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the directly manifest personality of Godhead, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus, bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. Purport. The ritualistic Brahmanas could not understand why the sacrificial food should be offered to Lord Krishna, whom they considered an ordinary human being. Just as a person with rose-colored glasses sees the entire world as rose-colored, a conditioned soul with mundane vision sees even God himself as mundane and thus loses the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadhamayam Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As I think many of you might have understood, this is the first time that I am giving class. So I'm super tensed and I think not excited, especially seeing Ziya Deva Madhavapro sitting here. Seek your blessings and all the other devotees. So as the purport says, and I think also the translation clearly says that the focus of the Brahmanas was mostly into the process of doing it, and they actually forgot why they were, the first place why they were actually doing the yajna of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it says like, even though although the ingredients are simply aspects of his opulences, the Brahmana saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human. So as Vishnu Purana says, like, whatever we are doing, ultimately it's for the pleasing of Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think it says, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So when we actually make that point as the central theme of whatever sacrifices that we are doing, then not just, since Supreme Personality of Godhead will be pleased, and along with him all the demigods will also be pleased, and whatever that, you know, benefits or that we are expecting from outcome of that sacrifice will be kind of blessed by us. So as I was thinking of this translation and purport, once I was told about the class, I was thinking it actually comes in line with one of the aspects that Rupa Goswami explains in Upadeshamrita, the Niyamagraha. And then, like, Prabhupada explains Niyamagraha as in two different ways. One is when someone is more focused on just the rules and regulation aspects of it, and one when one is on the other extreme, when one is completely averse to the rules and regulations of it. So, I think long back I actually heard one of the stories where, it's basically from India, where once a lady was getting married and then she was in the actual sacrificial arena where the whole marriage was going on, and then she started observing that her mom was actually chasing after one of the cats, and she kind of chased for almost 15-20 minutes, and then once she was able to catch hold of the cat, she brought a basket and then kept in front of, like, under, like, kept the cat in under the basket. And then she, because she was so far away, she was just seeing the whole thing that was happening. She didn't know why her mother was actually chasing around the cat. The reason why she was chasing around was she was creating, the cat was creating so much of know, chaos and everything, like none of the things were going on properly. So that was the reason the mother was doing it. And then the girl didn't observe it. So when this girl became the mother, then her daughter was getting married. And then just before the actual marriage was supposed to happen, where the Mangal Sutra was supposed to be tied, she told the boy, just wait, I'll have to get the cat, keep it, you know, get the basket, keep it, just because my mother did it. So when we actually don't, you know, understand the actual purpose of why any of the activities is being done, we just end up doing things for the sake of just doing it. And one of the also one of the, you know, lessons that I initially learned when I came here during one of the discussions was, you know, many of the services that we do sometimes, especially as, you know, when you are doing DT services or anything that relates to pujari services, sometimes we actually require to be clean and, you know, not touching anyone. You just take bath and directly come. But sometimes when you have kids, then, you know, when they are not so old, then it becomes difficult. And sometimes what we end up doing is we become so harsh with them, saying like, oh no, you're not supposed to touch me. And then, you know, rather than properly giving them training of explaining why dad or mom has to be in that way, why, you know, the whole purpose of being clean, when you actually kind of give them a scar, it creates much more deeper impact on the kids, and not just on the kids, but also in general also. You know, someone of your devotee friend comes and wants to kind of shake hand with you, not knowing that you're going to the DT service, you end up saying no. And then, you know, it creates these unwanted scars in the relationships and, you know, all of it. So then most of the times I think we kind of mix the principles and the preferences as an individual personality that we carry. You know, sometimes I have a preference of liking certain aspects of kirtan or certain aspects of classes. And then when we, you know, generalize my preference as a principle, then that's where, you know, the whole concept of, you know, just focusing on the rules and regulations kind of start up. You know, where you don't understand what is the difference between the principle and like your individual preferences. So, and again, like, you know, at the level that we are in, it's sometimes very difficult to differentiate if what we are doing is actually a preference that we are seeking, or is it actually a principle that, you know, the devotional service needs it. And again, for that we need some proper guidance from many of the devotees and, you know, shastras, reading and all of it. So again, it comes back to the point of taking guidance and being in the association of devotees. And I was also thinking when I'm saying this, that many times when a devotee, like sometimes you're outside, and sometimes not every time you see a devotee in wearing, you know, in dhoti, kurta, tilak, and sometimes you actually need that devotee himself, or you need some proper relationship, or sometimes, you know, some other person who actually knows the devotee to tell you, like, you know, here is a devotee, you should associate with him more. I think that's what happened with Gadadhar Pandit when he was meeting Pundarik Vidyanidhi. When he actually went and met Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was kind of not sure who Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and then he had to be kind of explained who Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and then Gadadhar Pandit got to know. So even for us to understand, like Krishna himself, if he comes in front of us, even for us to know that he is actually Krishna, we need devotees' grace, or in fact even Krishna's and devotees' grace to actually understand that he himself is the Krishna. And that's what happened with even Brahmanas. Like even Krishna sent his friends, you know, they were tired of playing, and then when he sent actually his friends asking the Brahmanas to send them some food, you know, it's directly, you know, direct associates of Krishna that came saying like, Krishna Balaram are there. But then the Brahmanas were always kind of, you know, were so proud that they were thinking like, no, these boys are just Vaishyas, they are just coward boys. And Balaram is just a Kshatriya, you know, he's son of Nanda Maharaj. So he's son of Vasudeva, so and we are Brahmins, so we are kind of in an elevated position. So why should we actually kind of hear to what they are saying? So the whole focus was, we are supreme and they are not. So they were not, you know, ready to accept the service that they were being given by the coward boys for serving the, you know, Lord and Lord Balram. So when they said, like, when they were so attached to the bodily platform of being the Brahmanas and not understanding what the position of Lord Krishna himself is, they just said, like, you know, they were actually not responding to any request that the coward boys were making. So then they said, like, you know, because they were not having proper sad to explain, like, the whole process of attracting grace of devotees or Lord himself is through sadhana and through association. Since they were actually missing those two points, even when they were just focusing on the, you know, we should actually do these sacrifices just for the sake of doing it. Since they were just, you know, so engrossed in doing the activities themselves, making sure all the particular aspects of the activities were so proper, but not the main aspect of, you know, seeking the shelter of Lord Krishna. So even when devotees came with the service, they were not able to exactly see that, oh, here comes the devotees and I am able to properly serve. So they were just rejecting it. And when I'm saying, like, you know, the rules and regulations are not just important, in sadhana bhakti there is as much importance to the rules and regulations to actually even just understanding the purpose of doing it also. You know, with all the conditionings and the attachments that we have, if you don't follow the properly laid rules and regulations of, you know, the whole system, again, when you are doing any of these things, the attitude again becomes the most important thing. I think Prabhupada writes also in Nectar of Instruction preface, when he says the advancement of the follower in Krishna consciousness depends on his attitude. So following of the rules and regulations is also important, but making sure we have the proper attitude of surrender and understanding, like, surrender to a proper devotee and understanding when and how we should actually apply these rules and regulations, and when the, you know, when there is a need of sometimes bypassing the rules and regulations, even that is important. So when we actually understand this Niyamagraha concept, then there is more possibility of deeply understanding the whole spiritual process and deeply absorbing just not the holy name and sadhana and all of it, you know, in an overall sense, just taking it much deeper, and rather than just swimming on the surface of bhakti, we can actually go much deeper and, you know, kind of can avoid lot of more, you know, offenses and all of it. So, and when we talk of this doing the purpose and doing the process and actually purpose, there is also this pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita where one of the mendicants comes to house of Jagannath Mishra, and then Jagannath Mishra, being such a elevated Vaishnava, then he says, like, you know, you can stay in my house, and he carries Bal Gopal with him, whom he always cooks, and whatever he offers to the Bal Gopal, that's what he eats. So then Jagannath Mishra says, like, I can provide you whatever you want to cook, so please cook in my house, stay, and then, you know, offer to Bal Gopal, and you can honor prasadam. So Jagannath Mishra provides everything that's required for, you know, comfortable stay for the mendicant and whatever that he wanted to cook. And since we are talking almost of 500 years back, the process of whole deity worship was actually much elevated than even now. Even now, when you do some deity worship to the deities, you actually invite deities through mantras, asking them to please come and honor the prasadam. So when the mendicant was actually inviting Lord himself to come and honor prasadam, so the Lord was in the house as Lord Chaitanya. So he thought, anyways, my devotee is calling, so let me just go and eat. So then he went ahead and then he started eating, and then when the mendicant opened his eyes and saw that, you know, this small boy is actually eating the whole prasadam, whole boga, then he becomes so terrified, and then he starts shouting. And then Jagannath Mishra, he says, like, I'm so sorry. So he takes Nimai, who was just a small kid, and then he keeps him in one of the neighbor's house. And then he says, please again, you start the worship. And then mendicant again starts, and the same episode again happens. And this time Jagannath Mishra is so kind of terrified that he doesn't go. He sends his elder son Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop, he himself being also the Supreme Lord, when Vishwaroop just says, the mendicant, his heart melts, and then he starts all the process again. And even the third time, Lord Wati Nimai, he kind of makes sure that all the other ladies whom he is playing in the other house, he makes sure that with Yogamaya, they kind of fall asleep. And then he comes back to the puja room and then he starts again eating. And this time, Lord actually reveals who he is. And then the mendicant becomes so happy that actually like all the three times, Lord was so pleased that he was actually coming in, doing it. But Nimai then says like, do not reveal this to anyone. So even in this case, we actually see that in the initial two or three times, the mendicant was so kind of engrossed in the process of, you know, making it right, that, you know, no one should see it, no one should touch it. So when this boy was kind of, you know, coming and eating, and then in fact Nimai once in the initial two attempts, he actually says, you know, why am I not supposed to come? I am also the coward boy. So you are calling the coward boy, so I am coward boy, and I am coming and haunting the prasadam. So since the mendicant was so engrossed in the actual process of doing everything, you know, as per, you know, the process and all of it, he was not able to understand what Lord Nimai was saying. Then the third time, through the grace of Lord himself, then he understands that, oh, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he becomes joyful. So when you're, so this pastime also explains to us, like, all along with the compassionate nature of Lord himself, where he could have just taken the prasad through Bal Gopal. He didn't have to go through the whole episode of coming and eating and, you know, getting the chastisement from his parents. Along with that, it also shows like when the mendicant was just focused on the performance of doing the thing in a right way, he was not able to see Lord, even though Lord was in front of him. But then when he was kind of, you know, maybe when it went on to the third time, he was able to actually see that. So as much of the process is also important, understanding the purpose of why we are doing the process is also important. You know, many times, there's this famous story that I heard. Many times when a senior devotee comes into the temple room, sometimes someone who is just coming to the Krishna consciousness, if he is inspired by the devotee, then he might come and offer his obeisances in front of the deities. And then sometimes the senior devotee starts chastising, saying, oh, you're not supposed to pay obeisances to in front of deities to anyone. But when in the process of correcting to him to make him right, he actually forgets the other principles of you're not supposed to chastise anyone in front of the deities. So when you don't understand, you know, his whole purpose was, he is so inspired by this devotee that he met and wanted to kind of pay his obeisances and pay his respects. So, you know, it's in this, when that happens, you know, it creates such a scar in the new devotee's, seemingly new devotee's heart, that there's always a possibility that he can forever leave Krishna consciousness and go away. So the whole process of actually understanding it makes it not just easier for us, also as a community, it makes us more closer to each other and, you know, in a much better way, kind of serving Srila Prabhupada and serving Kishore Kishore in a better way. And then, again, in the later verses, we actually see when the coward boys go back to Krishna saying, like, you know, Sukadeva Goswami says, like, when they were not getting the answer of yes or no, they actually go back. So it means like the Brahmanas were completely neglecting the coward boys. They didn't even say, you know, we'll not even give prasad. They were completely neglecting it. So they felt hurt. You know, it was not that they wanted to do it. They wanted to do further service of the Lord. So in this line, there's also this pastime of Govinda, one of the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. So one day, one of the services of Govinda is to daily massage Lord Chaitanya when he is taking a nap. So one of the days, Lord Chaitanya becomes so ecstatic that he falls on the near the door of the entrance of the house. So Lord Govinda comes to the house and then he says Lord Chaitanya is actually fall asleep. And then he crosses over Lord Chaitanya, and then he goes into the room and then massages Lord Chaitanya, and then he sits there. And then after some hours, when Lord Chaitanya gets up, and then he sees Govinda is on the other side, then he asks Govinda, did you actually take prasadam? Govinda says, no, my dear Lord, I didn't take prasadam. So he says, why didn't you go? He says, I couldn't cross over you. Then Lord Chaitanya asks, like, you crossed over me to come inside the house, then why couldn't you cross over me again to go back and take prasadam? You know, you actually did wrong once, so what's the point in not doing wrong again? So Govinda says, my dear Lord, I crossed over you because I wanted to serve you. So for your service, any effect that I might get for crossing over a sannyasi and a senior devotee, I'm okay to accept it. But if I have to cross over you again, then I'll have to cross over you for my pleasure of having prasadam, which I'm not okay. You know, this is the higher principle of for serving a devotee, if it is a need, then sometimes with proper consultation, it could be okay to not follow the rules and regulations at that point of time. But not making it as a generalized principle of, you know, once because I broke it, I can break it always. So Govinda shows that as an example that you can sometimes cross over certain rules and regulations in the need of higher purpose, but not always. You cannot make it as a generalized principle. So even in the case of Brahmana Patnis, when cowherd boys go back to Krishna, and then Krishna says, oh, that's fine. Now you go back to the wives of these Brahmanas and tell them, like, Lord Shankarshan and Lord Krishna are here and they are hungry. If they can get some prasadam, then that's good. So the cowherd boys go back again to the wives of Brahmanas, and then it's so beautifully explained in Bhagavatam. Like, we actually kind of get fascinated with many of the storybooks where it's, you know, we sometimes say, you know, this storybook actually explains whatever story is happening in a very pictorial way. Even Bhagavatam actually does that in a much better way. It actually, as I was just going through the translations today, I was actually able to kind of reflect what exactly is happening. It's not just a random story, some mythological story that's just happening. When you actually go deeper into the Bhagavatam, you actually relish it much deeper. And even the way Bhagavatam is narrated is so sweet, just the language and all of it. So Sukadeva Goswami narrates like how they were sitting and then how they were, like, you know, preparing all of it. And then when cowherd boys go back and say, like, Lord Sankarshan is here and Lord Krishna is here, if they can come, they immediately become joyful. And then Sukadeva Goswami actually explains why they become so joyful. He says, like, they were constantly hearing Lord Krishna's pastimes. And he actually uses a phrase where he says that they became, the pastimes of Lord actually became the ornaments of their ears. So they were so engrossed in hearing about Lord Krishna, you know, through their sadhana was hearing about Lord Krishna, his pastimes and all of it. So when the cowherd boys came with the news of Krishna being there, they immediately become so joyful and they were able to receive the mercy that they were getting it. So these are the two extreme scenarios of one, where they were the Brahmanas, where they were just so focused on just the process of it. And here are the Brahmana Patnis who are so simple, you know, simplicity, we talk so much on the simplicity aspect of here, where through their sadhana, their hearts became so receptive to the message and the service that they were getting it. So it became much easier. And some comparative examples of simplicity and duplicity could also be Duryodhana, where, you know, in whole of Mahabharata, there are many episodes where actually Krishna, you know, shows his superhuman natures, where even when he comes as a peacemaker, he shows his universal form. And Duryodhana just dismisses as Duryodhana and Shakuni, all of them just dismiss as being some magic that's being performed by some, you know, some famous personality. So, on the other hand, in Chaitanya-charitamrita, we see, not just, even in Mahabharata also, we see, like, Vidura's wife, she was so simple that when Krishna came, Krishna actually didn't show any of these, you know, superhuman pastimes of showing the Virat Rupa or anything, but she was able to actually see Krishna as he is. And even in the pastime of Chaitanya-charitamrita, Sridhar Kolavecha, when the whole of Nadia was, you know, thinking like this, Nima is just a naughty kid, Sridhar Kolaveju always felt attracted to Nima. He always felt like he is just not an ordinary boy. And he always prayed like he should actually, every day, one of the things that Sridhar Kolaveju used to do was, he used to wait for Nima to come and, you know, argue and take away all these banana leaves. So here is Sridhar Kolaveju, who didn't, like, Lord Chaitanya was, in his childhood, was not showing any of these, the pastimes that he actually showed later. But through his simple heart of, you know, taking shelter of holy name, he was able to accept Lord Nima even in his kind of hidden form. So simplicity helps us to accept and take benefit of the grace that we are getting, whereas the duplicity kind of moves us away from the grace. So when we are duplicitous in nature, we kind of tend to be nice in front of the devotees and, you know, commit offenses or whatever can happen. And not just that, you'll not be able to even receive whatever they are ready to give you. You know, there is so much that devotees all around are ready to give us. If you are just simple and, you know, taking shelter of holy name in a true sense of pleasing Krishna, then we can actually, you know, get much more benefit. And not, you know, as one of the parallels that we can actually see from Brahmanas is, Brahmanas had Krishna that was coming in person, and we always have holy name who is coming through when we are chanting. It's like holy name is considered non-different from Krishna. So when we are not simple, even though we are chanting whole of 16 rounds, then it seems like Brahmanas, we are completely neglecting the holy name. We are neither saying yes or no. We cannot say no because we got to know so much about the holy name, and we are unable to say yes because we are so much of conditioning. So we are also similar to Brahmanas, where we are completely neglecting the holy name and rather than, you know, accepting it as it is. And again, similar to this verse, also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text 11, where he says, Avajananti Maam Mooda, and where he says like, Moodas will not be able to know me because they think I have this material body. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada clearly says like, you know, it could be big scholars who are, you know, scholars in Mayavad and Vedanta and all of it, but if they don't understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has the Sachidananda Vigraha, then they are Moodas. You know, sometimes we might consider Moodas as someone who is foolish. Foolish in the aspect of not considering Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Sachidananda Vigraha. So irrespective of whatever seemingly material and spiritual advantages or positions that might have, if you are unable to accept this fact of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is in the personal form, then we would also be considered as Moodas. And finally, I would like to end with saying like, how in the same possibility of how the Brahmana Patnis had the privilege or the blessing of accepting Krishna through the message that they got from cowherd boys, we also have this privilege and the blessing of getting the same message even after almost 5,000 years, just because of the glories of all the previous acharyas and especially Srila Prabhupada. So always grateful for all the acharyas and for kind of passing down this message, making sure that we still have the availability of the same message, not just after 5,000 years, even after like millennium of years. So thank you, and I sincerely seek apologies if I was not, I think I was kind of not cohesive, I was all over the place. So I seek sincere apologies for all of it, and please pray so I can continue in my devotional service properly, and whatever I said, I would be able to follow in some true sense. If you have any comments.
Hare Krishna, Hari Dwani Prabhu. Thank you for your class, and very nice class for your first time. So please give more. I really appreciated your point of duplicitous, and you mentioned on the pastime of Gadadhar Pandit, where he was externally restrained himself, but internally he was criticizing. And basically this pastime saying we can't appreciate the greatness of Krishna and devotees if we're too attached to rules and regulations. So one thing that came to mind is we hear like pastimes where devotees like Haridasa Akura could perceive the greatness the greatness even within their enemies, whereas devotees like Ramachandrapuri can't even perceive the greatness even within their friends. Haridas Thakur was beat in 22 marketplaces. He was at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people. But because he had the right mentality, love, mercy, and compassion, he was always satisfied. Ramachandrapuri, on the other hand, he was at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. But because he had the wrong mentality, speculation, criticizing, fault-finding, he was always dissatisfied. So there's a nice quote, and my question is after this nice quote, it's one, it reminded me of your class in this past time. It says, if a fool be associated with a wise man, even for all his life, he will perceive the truth as much as a spoon perceives the taste of soup. If an intelligent man be associated with a wise man for 1 minute only, he will perceive the truth as much as the tongue perceives the taste of soup. So my question is that how do we know we're not falling into the Ramachandrapuri trap of thinking that the scriptures say associate with advanced Vaishnavas? However, we may look around at our association. I don't see any advanced Vaishnavas other than me. Let me go search for some advanced Vaishnavas. So how do we know we're not being ungrateful fault finders and being grateful for whatever association Krishna has given us? So maybe you could.
I actually didn't understand the question fully.
Did you hear the question? How do we know whether we actually need to seek association that will take us to the next level, or whether we're being ungrateful fault finders like Ramachandrapuri? Because Ramachandrapuri was associating with Lord Chaitanya. There's no better association than that, but he criticized him. He's not good association. So how do we know we're not falling into that trap, that extreme of ingratitude?
One point which I could think of it when you're saying about Ramachandrapuri and Haridas Thakur is, there's never a point where we could, where we'll reach where we'll not require an association. In the case of Haridas Thakur, you can, when Advaita Acharya is actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu himself. So he's on that highest elevated platform. If you have to consider, then he'll not require an association because he's like almost in the most exalted position. But when Haridas Thakur comes, he makes sure that he goes and meets and, you know, he respects Haridas Thakur in the assembly of the whole Brahmanas and giving him the highest position. So there is never a position or a situation where we will reach, you know, after, there's never a point where after hundreds or 100 years of devotional service, we'll not reach a point where we can say, oh, I'm safe, I'll not require an association. So there's always a need of association. If you consider the case of Bharat Maharaj, so he was almost on the level, he was almost there, just knocking on the door. But, you know, it's not to criticize Bharat Maharaj. I mean, we are not even there. We are not even just, we are kind of struggling, somewhere struggling in the Anartha Nivritti. But Lord so gracefully shows through his pastimes that you always need association. Maybe sometimes we will kind of think like, I can tell my own example where, luckily I came into Krishna consciousness quite young. So I was like, when I was going into college in my graduation, I was so fired up. I started thinking like, you know, I should preach to my whole college friends and I should make devotees, I should make this club and all of it. So then I started going so deep into the friendships that I was almost kind of on the verge of leaving my sadhana itself. Then my Siksha Guru, my brother, he came and he said like, first of all, make sure that you are proper. And if you want to do something, then consult with someone who is actually doing it, not just doing whimsically whatever you want to do. So there is always a need for association. And when we understand that, then we will obviously be grateful for whatever association we are getting. And not that we want, it definitely we would seek for advanced devotees association. But in seeking that advanced devotees association, you should not forego whatever association that you have. Take the most benefit of what we have, and when you are so greedy for taking whatever you have, then Krishna sees that, oh, then I can give him more. If you're not ready to take whatever you have, then obviously there's no point in getting more. So you be lowlium, you be so greedy to get more, then I know accepting whatever you have to the fullest extent, then obviously you will be blessed with more association. If somebody can add, then if someone wants to add.
So since talking about association, you know, getting straight to it, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj mentioned, he said, don't associate, but be careful within the association of even devotees. Is there any more to that to add to it?
I mean, when we say of
straight,
when we say of association, we always say, we use the term association in a single phrase, but there is something preface that comes is where we say is like-minded association. It's not that you just go randomly to anyone and just start associating. There's always a possibility of the nature of the personality that you are and the nature of personality that the other devotees may not be exactly same. And it's not, when we say as like-minded association, it's not that you should start criticizing the other devotees who are not like-minded, but you should seek someone who is like-minded association. And even in that, as Bhaktisiddhanta says, like, you should be careful, because as it says, when you become so close to any devotee or any person, then you start seeing much more faults in them. I think, what's the content? Familiarity breeds content. So it's that. When you are grateful, and so the being careful comes when you are grateful with it. You don't take it casually. I see that statement of being careful is not being casual in the relationship.
So a little comment, because when I read this, and that was quite some years ago in Los Angeles Temple, to be exact, in 1981. When I hear this comment, because I read his books a lot, but when I hear he didn't say don't be careful. And I thought about the Shivites, there's so many devotees, and I slept. It took me few days, because every time I take rest. I thought about this, and he said, wow. He's talking about in general, devotees in general. But anyway, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Mathu, you want to add something?
Hare Krishna. I just want to say, I thank Hare Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita tradition, and respects and perspective to veganism and vegetarianism. I've been a vegetarian for almost 2 to 4 months, thanks to this temple. And basically, when I used to eat flesh, which was meat, I was very sleepy, very confused, couldn't even do my personal hygiene, cleaning my physical temple. And whenever I'm outside this temple, I always feel that my conscience and my spirit is unstable. But even when I walk close to the temple, to come in the temple, not to follow the three modes of life, but the three modes of life can be beneficial, because we learn from the three modes of life, which is standing strong within challenges. But I've been a vegetarian for almost 2 to 4 months due to Hare Krishna devotees and deities and other elements of the rank of Hare Krishna. And my life is going so well due to the Bhagavad Gita. I may not read my Bhagavad Gita every day as I should, but I do meditate on the Hare Krishna term. I just want to say thanks to the deities, and thanks to the devotees for welcoming me in this beautiful franchise of the three modes, executive, judicial, and legislative. So I just want to say thank you for teaching me not to eat flesh, because flesh is a creature of Hare Krishna. Flesh is a creature a Hare Krishna, and we and I just want to say thanks from respecting animal rights. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada Ki.